We'll turn to God's Word, Genesis chapter 41. We're going through the life of Joseph, and we've been tracing his life bit by bit, verse by verse, section by section. And we looked last week at the famine that was in the land. And at the end, whenever the people came to Pharaoh for bread, Pharaoh told the people to go on to Joseph. And that's where we've got today in the message. We'll come back to that, and now we'll get to the part where they are to go to Joseph, why they are to go to Joseph, and next time, God willing, we'll look at the storehouses, then that Joseph, this bountiful supply that will be open to meet the need of all who come unto him. And as I said before, if you are a bit stuffy, feel a bit stuffy, please open one of the windows or put the fan down on or anything. Don't be struggling. Genesis chapter 41. And we'll take a reading from verse 53 down to verse 57. Genesis 41, verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in the lands. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just look to God now for his help and pray that God will bless us and undertake for us at this time. Now, Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we thank thee for the lessons that we have learned in the life of Joseph. And Father, we thank thee not only are those lessons we've learned practically as a Christian from another Christian, but above all, we thank thee for the truths that we've learned that has led us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank thee Scripture is all about thy beloved Son. And therefore, Lord, we pray as we come even to this book of Genesis, we thank thee, O God, even there is much of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray this day that thou wilt help us to behold the Lamb slain for sinners. We thank thee for our young people. We rejoice, O God, for the gifts and talents that thou hast given them. Lord, we pray thou wilt give them help and thou wilt encourage them. Perfect that which concerneth them. And Lord, as they delight themselves in thee, Lord, thou wilt give them the desires of their heart. Lord, move among them, we pray, for the Saviour's sake. Amen and amen. Pharaoh's dream that was interpreted by Joseph was in fact a message from God. What he was about to do in the land of Egypt and with Pharaoh. You remember, we've spent much time in that passage going over those words, and we learned that the dream given to Pharaoh was essentially a message of life and death. A famine was coming to the land of Egypt to fulfill God's sovereign purposes in redemption. 7 years of plenty would be followed by 7 years of dearth. And during the first 7 years, Joseph, the ruler of Egypt, the lord of the land, labored so that nations through him would be blessed in preserving a people from death. Joseph, as soon as he left Pharaoh's presence, having been authorized to go about the land, he set out to gather the corn or the grain that was used for making bread. And that's what was the people needed. It was the bread that would satisfy. It was the bread that would fill. It was the bread that was needed in this time of famine. However, during the 7 years of famine, we read in verse 50, when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go on to Joseph, what he saith you do. Verse 50 is really like the Selah of the Psalms. It is a verse that we must stop, we must pause, we must take time to reflect what has just been said. Go on to Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Pharaoh directs the people in obedience to go on to Joseph. The path is clear and plain. And whatever Joseph tells you to do, that is what you must do. You see, Joseph is not one of many people to go to. Joseph is not the best among the worst to save in a time of destruction. Rather, Joseph has been the one chosen as the only one suited by God and placed before Pharaoh to save the people from death. And therefore, in considering such words, we will receive a blessing, because in these words, there is a greater view, a greater picture. Our minds are directed beyond an earthly Joseph to a heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one suited and qualified as the Savior of sinners. Jesus Christ is the only one who all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He alone is the only one who has come to save a people from eternal damnation. And Paul makes this clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, when he said, Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. The Lord Jesus Christ, in saving a people, has delivered that people and secured that people from the wrath that awaits every lost sinner. Do you realize that now, child of God? If your sins are forgiven, you've been born again by the Spirit of God, and now you have been saved from wrath to come. You'll never be in hell. You'll never be sentenced to a lost eternity. You'll never be condemned for your sin. Why? Because Jesus Christ hath delivered you from the wrath that is to come. But on C1 today, this is where this message is a message of life and death. Because you're lost in your sin, and the wrath of God abides upon you, and you're condemned already, because you have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And right now, in God's sight, you are condemned already, because you are not saved. And therefore you must come and believe the message of the gospel, that Christ Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Go to Jesus, and in obedience to his word, rest your faith on him, call upon him, and he will save you from your sin. So in these words, go to Joseph. Why were the people to go to Joseph? Why are you to go to the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice, first of all, go to Joseph, as he alone has the authority to save from death in the famine. Verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, we have looked at these words in great detail, but I want to look at them in this way. The very fact that Joseph is exalted and that he stands in the presence of King Pharaoh confirms that Joseph has all authority given by Pharaoh as the only one named Saphnath-Paneah. And we learned that word, didn't we? Saphnath-Paneah. It has three meanings. If you have a Hebrew reference in your Bible, that is the wee margin in the middle of your Bible, you will have the meaning of one of the names, Savior of the world. But there are other names, the Revealer of Secrets and the Giver of Bread, and we have looked at that in detail. So in Pharaoh's eyes, All authority has been given to Joseph. He is the Saphnath Paneah. He's been named that name as the Savior of the world, the revealer of secrets, the one who gave the word of God and the giver of bread, the one who will meet the need in this famine. And isn't that a picture of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ? His name was given by God. His name was given by God as the Savior of the world. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He is the bread of life. He is the one who gives the word of God. No one, go to no one else in physical need, in this time of need. Only go to Joseph. He alone has been given authority by Pharaoh to provide and preserve a people and bring them through this famine, spur them in this famine and deliver them to safety. And so the words lead to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater than Joseph. Christ has all authority given to him from heaven to save fallen men and women from the famine of their soul and secure deliverance from eternal wrath. The Lord Jesus Christ, his name is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In his life and in his precious blood, there is deliverance from the wrath of God. God, in referring to the sufferings of Christ, said in Isaiah 53, "My righteous servant shall justify many." And therefore, men and women today, that's how you must view Christ, as he is revealed in Scripture, as the one who has all authority, the one who has all power on earth to forgive sins. Because to refuse such a message, to reject and neglect so great salvation, is to remain numbered among the transgressors, as the Pharaoh of Moses' day, whenever he said in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And maybe there's one here today with the hardness and the stubbornness and the pride of your heart, as the gospel is preached to you week after week, and you know the truth, you know the word of God, you know you need to be saved, and you know you must go to Christ as the only Savior, yet the pride and rebellion, and you say, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" I say to you, the word of God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God," and notice, "and that them who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Do you see that, men and women? If you don't obey the gospel, if you don't go to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will perish for your sin. You will be separated from the presence of God. You'll be punished with everlasting destruction. What shall be the end of them who obey not the gospel? Don't you believe the lies today that there'll be some party in heaven, or there'll be some place reserved for them in hell that they can have some get-together? Don't believe it at all. I've heard that many times. And you've heard that no doubt as well. I tell you, there'll be punishment. Hell is the place of punishment. And if you don't obey the gospel, you will perish. The same here as the people, they come to Pharaoh for bread. Go to Joseph, because to fail to go to Joseph is to perish, because Joseph is the one that is the provider and the provision through this famine. And therefore, men and women, you must come to Jesus Christ. You miss Christ, you miss heaven. Therefore, child of God, you can rejoice that you've been lifted from the prison house of sin. You've been clothed in the garments of salvation. You've been delivered from wrath to come. Therefore, go out through the city of London and further, and tell men and women, boys and girls, of Jesus, the mighty to save. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Tell them, go to Joseph, go to Jesus for salvation. Notice secondly, go to Joseph, for he alone has the ability to save from death in the famine. The first one, he alone has the authority. Now secondly, he alone has the ability. Remember, during the 7 years of plenty, the Egyptians nor anybody else came to Pharaoh seeking bread. Now remember, we are looking in this chapter of the Gentiles, the heathens, the Egyptians, and other nations. They come seeking bread. But next time when we get to chapter 42, you will then have the Jews coming seeking bread. And there you have the Jews and the Gentiles coming looking for this provision. And so in the years of plenty, none of the Egyptians or the heathen Gentiles, nor the Jews, no one came to Pharaoh seeking bread. Why? Because it was the years of plenty. They didn't feel their need. They didn't feel their emptiness, their barrenness. Even when the famine began to come in its earliest years, the people still depended upon the works of their own hands among the little that they had gathered. And we'll see that in the next number of chapters. When they kept coming to Joseph, they brought money, they brought their cattle, they brought all their goods, all these different things. They were still depending on the little things that they had to get them through the famine. They knew the 7 years of famine would come, but the thought in their mind was they had worked hard enough to provide for themselves, and they believed that they had done enough to survive the famine, or to go as far as they could. Verse 53, the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Verse 54, and the 7 years of dearth or hunger began to come. And the dearth, again the word means famine or hunger, was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. And so while all the other lands felt the impact, there was still bread in Egypt. Not only in Joseph's storehouses, but the people had a little bit that they were depending upon. But now that becomes empty. The famine becomes more severe. We learned last week about the famine becoming greater, waxing stronger. It's now at its height, and the land of Egypt was famished. Again, the word famished, it means hungered. The land of Egypt is now barrenness. It's now empty. And once the people then felt their need, once they felt their emptiness, their barrenness, their hunger, only them did they come seeking bread. Once they realized their total desperation, their hopelessness, their helplessness, only then did they cry unto Pharaoh for bread. Once reality hit them, we could die in this famine, did they come seeking how to live. And isn't that what chapter 42, Jacob says to his sons, go into Egypt to buy bread, telling the Jews to go. Why? Lest we die. We will perish in this famine because there's no food, there's hunger, there's barrenness, there's emptiness. Therefore, go now to Egypt. You see their urgency. You see, during the years of plentiness, all's hunky-dory. I depend upon myself. But now they've realized their emptiness, their barrenness, and they need to come for food to live. And in that time, Pharaoh points them to the source and supplier of the storehouses. Go to Egypt. Go to Joseph. Because he alone not only has the authority to save, but he has the ability to save from death by famine. He is the one who's able to provide the food. And this gets really exciting because next time, as we come to learn about the storehouses, we see how those storehouses are set different places strategically throughout the land. Why? To show that wherever the people were, they could find this provision. Christ or Joseph was accessible. But again, that's next time. We'll not get ahead of ourselves. The excitement of it all. But the point is this. Christ is accessible for sinners to come to. And those are the storehouses. Joseph has the ability. He's gathered the food. He's gathered the supply in Joseph, by Joseph, through Joseph. All the land needs. All the people need. It is met. It's supplied. And all who go to Joseph will have that need met. And what a picture we have in the gospel. Famished sinners, barren lives, empty by the fall of sin, walk according to the course of this present evil world. God is not in their thoughts. None seek after him. None have no concern where they will spend eternity. Rather, they store up goods for themselves. They eat, they drink, they live merrily on the pleasures of the world. They depend upon the works of their own hands to see them through. They seek to gain the whole world, but don't realize they will lose their soul. And therefore, due to the fallen understanding, due to the blindness of sin, sinners do not feel their need for Christ, nor do they see any reason to go to Christ. They're blinded by sin, their understanding darkened. When the gospel is preached, it's nothing to them who pass by. Why? Because they depend upon the pleasures of their sin. They depend upon their money, their philosophies, whatever it may be. But they do not feel their need, their emptiness, their barrenness. They depend upon themselves. How many people have said, and you've heard this again, I've heard it, we'll all just get to heaven our own way. You go your way, I'll go my way, and we'll just get there. A load of nonsense, by the way. There's only one way, as we'll see in this message. And so they depend upon their one way, their many ways. And if they think that won't work, then they will depend upon someone else. And that's why you get these false religions coming together. Because we'll all take a bit of everybody's way to heaven. And then none of us will lose out. But again, to do that is to perish. Because there's only one way. The proud heart does not feel the emptiness of sin or the poverty-stricken state where their sin has brought them. All things may fall around them, but since they have not been touched personally, they remain ignorant of their dangerous position and their destructive end. However, the Lord in sovereignty works and intervenes in the lives of sinners. He causes them to see by the preaching of the gospel that the pleasure of sin only lasts for a season. And they're made to realize that the emptiness of their sin is a void that they can never fill and the world can never fill. And they must understand that there is a full Christ for empty sinners. There is gospel hope. There is blessed assurance in Jesus Christ because he alone has the full ability to save from eternal destruction. He's the one that has full ability to lift you from the rags of your sin, from the pit where sin has pulled you down. He has all ability to fill the soul because none can fill the soul but the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on to him because he is the bread from heaven. John chapter 6, verse 34 and 35. Whenever the Lord preached about that bread and him being that bread, they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And that is our prayer today, men and women, young person. As the word of God is preached, you will say, preacher, give us this bread. Give us this bread that will fill us full, that will satisfy our soul. Give us this bread that will fill the void in our life. Give us this bread that will quench the hunger. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He is the manna from above. He is the one who fills the void left by sin. Therefore, go to Jesus Christ, men and women, this day, and have your sin forgiven, have your life filled, and enjoy pleasures at his right hand. You see, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? The word exceeding in that verse means to surpass, means to go beyond the mark. It is used of the competitions in Paul's day, the athletics, where the spear throwing competitions where one threw a spear. And you still see this today in the Olympics and the games. They have these big, massive, long spears and they run like this and they throw it like that there and it lands a certain point. And the whole point is the person coming after them is to throw it further, to surpass them. And that's the whole point this word means. The exceeding greatness. His greatness is beyond. His greatness surpasses. Because the word greatness here is mega. And that is meaning stronger, bigger than anything else. And so the whole point of this, Christ's mighty power and his ability to those who believe, when it comes to eternal life, protection, satisfaction, his power is mega. His ability to save the soul, forgive all your sin, to save you from the wrath of God. His greatness goes beyond anything that man could ever do, anything that false religion can ever do. His work, his power, his greatness is eternal power, eternal greatness, infinite power, infinite greatness. That's why Christ has all power to forgive your sins. That's why Christ has all ability to forgive all the sins of all his people. You may have a big debt of sin. The Lord is able to pay the whole debt. The Lord is able to cancel out the whole debt. The Lord is able to forgive all your sin. Go to the Lord Jesus, because the power to forgive your sin is found in him. Notice finally, briefly, go to Joseph, for he alone has the answer to save from death in the famine. Verse 55, Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith you do. The words may seem simple, but they are packed with gospel treasure. Notice, when all the Egyptians came to Pharaoh for bread, his answer was the same for all the Egyptians. Never let that pass you by. Pharaoh didn't point some Egyptians to Joseph and then the rest to another person. Joseph had one answer, the same answer for all the people who came for bread. Go on to Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Therefore, what a picture we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior, one message, one gospel, one person for you to go to that has all authority, all ability, and who is the answer for your soul. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, you'll go to false religion and go through the whole lot of them. And they will give you different people to go to. And they will give you a multitude of things to do and people to go to. You come to true Bible-believing churches that preach the gospel. And they will tell you, go to one. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all power. He is the answer for your soul. Pharaoh said to the people, what he saith to you, do. Pharaoh had said Joseph, there is none so wise and discreet as he is. Pharaoh said that Joseph would be, the land would be ruled by Joseph's word. And so whatever he says to you, do. Even if it's not what you thought, or it's the way that you would go about it, or you have your own thoughts, abandon them. Though you may trust in your own provision, it will fail you. You must go to Joseph, and what he saith to you, go. Joseph's ways will not be your ways, and his thoughts will not be your thoughts, but his way and what he says to you is what you need to obey to be saved through this famine. Remember, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read of Naaman. And Naaman had leprosy, and he wanted his leprosy cleaned. And the message was, go to Jordan. Go to Jordan and dip 7 times. And then we read those words of Naaman. Behold, I thought. He had his own rivers that he wanted to go to. And he began to name these other rivers. Well, what about the other rivers that I want to go to? Go to Jordan and dip 7 times. And men and women, you may believe the lies of today that you can get to heaven by your own works, your own self-righteousness, or because someone in your family belongs to the church, or there's many ways, or you're still depending on people to find the newest way, a better way, a more up-to-date way. I say to you, there's only one way. Jesus Christ is the answer. Isaiah 55, verse 7 and 9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Go to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now this word is usually applied to Christian lives, and that's fine by application. You read that, someone will tell another Christian when something they're going through a challenging time. Someone will say, well, remember, your ways are not God's ways and your thoughts are not God's thoughts. And that's true, and there is the application. But in the context of those words, it's about the way of salvation. It's about the way of sins forgiven. And the Lord is saying, you may have your many ways, but your many ways are not my way. You may have your many thoughts how you will get to heaven, acceptance, but it's not my way. My way is higher than your way. My way is superior than your way. My way is not about what you need to do. My way is about what my beloved Son has done. And therefore, that's why you read then after in Isaiah 45, verse 22, look on to me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God, there is none else. Looking to no one else but Jesus Christ alone. And when you look to Christ, you look away from every other way. Pharaoh said, go to Joseph, and what he saith you to do. Just as Mary said to the people in the wedding, whatever he saith to you, do. Now we'll come back to those words for the next message. But I say to you, unsaved one, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion will fail you. The world will fail you. Men will fail you. The confessional box will rob you. I say, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sin to him, and he will save you. Believer, keep coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he continually meets all your needs. There's a greatness in him. He blesses you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake.